The master-apprentice metaphor stretches only so far. As a co-creator, you are expected to do more than just live and have random desires as most people do. In stage 5, the process is about becoming the author of your own life. How is that done? Before you become the author of your own life, you feel inadequate and powerless. Outside circumstances seem to have the upper hand. After you assume authorship of your own life, outcomes are never in doubt. Events still unfold unpredictably, yet you know that you are adequate to meet them. The adventure is to uncover the creative solutions that most appeal to you. You gain authorship based on your own inclinations, with no outside help and no second opinions. You can tell if you're in stage 5 by the way you get what you want. If you rely almost entirely on an internal process, then you are, with a minimum of effort, a co-creator of reality. If we get down to specifics, the act of creation is reducible to one ingredient, intention. There are no magic tricks to making a thought come true. You just intend a thing and it happens. When highly successful people are interviewed, many times they repeat the same formula. I had a dream and I stuck with it, because I was certain that it would come true. Of course, there's a great deal of work to be done to arrive at any great accomplishment, but it's just what you need to do to get to the goal. Intention lies at the heart of the process. To break this down into specific behavior, the following qualities can be seen in people who have mastered the art of intention. They are not attached to the past or how things should turn out. They adapt quickly to errors and mistakes. They are alert to tiny signals. They have a good connection between mind and body. They have no trouble embracing ambiguity. They remain patient, trusting the universe to bring results. They make karmic connections and are able to see the meaning in chance events. Making any idea come to life always involves intention. If you have a flash of genius, that flash remains inside your head until it materializes. The issue is how it gets materialized. There are efficient ways and inefficient ways. The most efficient way is shown to us by the mind itself. If I ask you to think of an elephant, the image just appears in your head, though millions of neurons had to coordinate this image using chemical and electromagnetic energy. The intention and the outcome are one. All intervening steps remain invisible. Now consider a larger intention, such as going to medical school. Between having this idea and fulfilling it are many steps, and these are not internal at all. Raising tuition money, passing exams, etc. Yet just like the image of the elephant, each of these steps depends upon brain operations being invisibly coordinated. You think, move, and act using intention. You expect the process of becoming a doctor to unfold with the least effort, unhindered by obstacles. The boundary between in here and out there is softened. All events take place in the mind field first and then exhibit their outward manifestation. Your role is to remain as sensitive and alert as possible. The turning points in life arrive as small signals at first. So being vigilant is a major part of spiritual evolution. God always speaks in silence, but sometimes the silence is louder than at other times. I often hear people quote Joseph Campbell's advice to follow your bliss. In stage 5, bliss becomes better defined as inspiration. Rather than having intentions that originate with your ego, you feel that you're called to do something highly meaningful. The sense of being outside yourself is often present, and as God takes over, the fruition of your desires feels blissful. Whereas the fulfillment of ego desires often surprises us by feeling very flat. Ask anyone how they feel 6 months after winning the lottery. To be inspired is a high state of attainment. 4 decades ago, the psychologist Abraham Maslow first spoke of peak experiences, his terminology for a breakthrough into expanded consciousness. A peak experience shares many qualities with inspiration, including feelings of bliss and being outside oneself. The conscious mind receives a supercharged burst from the unconscious. And even though this may happen only once in a lifetime, that feeling of empowerment can influence the course of events for many years. Although Maslow theorized that peak experiences gave glimpses of the real norms of the psyche out of the whole population, Maslow and like-minded researchers could barely find 5% who even temporarily made such a transition. Such self-actualized individuals felt as a normal experience that they were safe, confident, full of esteem for themselves and others, and deeply appreciative of what life brought to them. To redefine human nature in such positive terms seemed unrealistic. Freud had already laid down his law that human nature contains hidden tendencies that break out like caged monsters. Maslow had to admit that tremendous obstacles stand in our way. Most people are too needy to grow. Need comes in 4 levels, he said. The first is physical, the need to feed and clothe ourselves. Next comes the need for safety, followed by the need to be loved, and finally by the need for self-esteem. Only at the top does a person get the chance to feel self-actualized. When someone turns to God in order to feel safe or to be loved, need is the real motivation. In any event, God doesn't intervene to rectify the situation. To be driven by need is just how life works. To bring back the sacred, it must accomplish something that love, security, self-esteem, or good fortune cannot. When we are inspired, we don't act from need at all. You don't have to be spiritually advanced to feel triumphant when you reach the top of Everest. Spiritual advancement shows up when the small things carry a share of blessing too. Someone in stage 5 sees grace in all things.